Well, some of the boys tell me they've been a hard time in Seder yesterday because they're not. Everything on the Makaris, but hopefully be able to see how to get into the Nafkaminos. Part of what makes this sugya so meaningful is that you're dealing with three or four levels, and hopefully this table will help you see the levels, okay? So the top level are the issues we spoke about in the first week of Zman. We've been updating them. What links the Baal to the Nezek? I didn't do anything. My animal did it. Why should I be chayev? So week number one, we itemized two different linkages, two different reasons to mechayev the Baal. Right, based on the gears of the Rif, Shmirasa Melecha, Mimoncha, remember, are you chayev? I'm flipping them around a little bit because you own it. You chayev to cover anything the animal damages. Now, if you could say that you tried your hardest and you did a Shmira, maybe a Shmira Meula, you can say you're an Ones. As opposed to saying that it's not like you're chayev as the default, but and unless you can prove that you're an Ones and you're squeaky clean, no, you're chayev because your pshia contributed to the nezek, however that contribution plays out. Right? Two different views of what links you and what creates your chayev. Okay. Now, we have multiple nafkaminos, 1, 2, 3, 4. We're not going to review this. Look at your old table. Nafkamina number X, which is our sugya, is how to unpack the sugya of tchilaso b'pshia b'sofo b'ones. In particular, the one who holds tchilaso b'pshia b'sofo b'ones is chayev, which is our focus today. Tchilasa b'shiyah b'sof v'ones, pater, okay, it could work according to anyone, right? This could be the machlokas, but let's focus on ourselves today. Why would you say pater? You'd say pater because it's an ones, and even though, so pater is the obvious shita. But if you hold tchilasa b'shiyah b'sof v'ones is chayiv, how would you say chayiv according to each of these models, okay? That's gemina number V would be T U V W W. Gemina number W is tchilasa b'shiyah b'sof v'ones chayiv or pater. Maybe we'll talk about that a little later, but I don't want you to get confused right now. But assuming you hold chayiv, why would you hold chayiv? So if the machayiv is because you own it, as I always said the other day, you're chayiv because you're chayiv because you own it, unless you're an ones. So the very fact that you are a pashea means you're not squeaky clean, you're an ones. I don't care about the interaction or the dynamic between the pshia and the ultimate nezek. You're chayev, you own the animal did damage, someone suffered, you should pay. If you did your utmost, you're a tzaddik, you're the Vilna Gaon, you did your best, then you're pater. A tchilas of a pshia, I'm not going to use the whole phrase because it's too much to say 1,000 times. Tchilas of a pshia, a tchilas of a pshia person is not squeaky clean, you're chayev. So the etzim of pshia is mafkia sheimones. Masha'enken, if the machayev of nezek is the pshia leads to the damage, well, here, it didn't really cause the damage, because I was a poshe, and then all of a sudden, gangs came. I was a poshe, and all of a sudden, the dog went on a digging frenzy. I was poshe, and the animal fell off. I was poshe, and the animal went into labor. So it's not like I caused it. So the answer is, you didn't cause it, but you enabled it. So the pshia means, ones means not just no cause, but no enabling. And by your decision, not just your decision, but your criminal decision, right? If I invite, Gavi into this room, for a cup of coffee, then lightning strikes. I enabled it. There's nothing wrong with my enabling. It's the way life works out. But if I invited Gavi into this room to kill him, and then lightning strikes, so I enabled it with criminal intent. My original enabling was a criminal act, and that criminal act can be a contributor, a criminal contribution. If I invite Gavi to give him a gift and lightning strikes, okay, of course I enabled it, but I can't be punished for doing good things. When I tried to kill him, I wanted to have a knife in my pocket. I wanted to kill him. And then lightning struck, so I had a criminal intent to an action that enabled the ultimate death of the person, and therefore I'd be chayev. Okay? This is what we discussed one second, Henry, the previous year on Tuesday. And we saw the following nafkamina. The following nafkamina was machmas. Do you need an ones that comes from the pshir or not? We saw Rashi switching the Gemara on daf nun, actually it's nun vav, so she's going on daf nun vav to a machmas case. What was the case of Tchilasa B'Shiva Sefer B'Yonis and Nunvav, where the person put up a good wall? I'm not going to get into the details of the Gemara, but just the extraction, the logic that you extract. The person put up a big, good wall, and the animal started digging under the wall. And the Gemara frames that as a Tchilasa B'Shiva Sefer B'Yonis case, which would be Chayiv, and therefore it affects the whole flow of the Gemara. Why would that be Tchilasa B'Shiva Sefer B'Yonis Chayiv? It's not Machmas. Can we infer from this? You don't need Machmas. Rashi switched the terms. It's not like the dog dug under the strong wall. the dog went into a digging frenzy, unexpected ones, and actually pulled down the wall. So by you reporting a wall that wasn't fully, not a good wall, a medium wall, I'm sorry, you reporting a wall that wasn't that strong, and the dog pulled it down, so therefore you contributed to it. So Rashi turned it into a case of machmas. That's where we are today. Now we're going to pursue the following. We're going to see another Tosfos on Nun Beis, which I didn't give you the Makaris, but I heard Rav Meidan mention it, so I'll just review it with you and put it into context for you. That also requires machmas. So Tosfos on Daf Nun Beis is in line with Rashi on Daf Nun Vav, so they're both trying to steer the sugya towards machmas, even though Daf Nun Vav makes it sound like Chilasa B'Shias Chayiv even without machmas. And then we're going to get into the weeds of Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. And that's, I think, what a couple guys had a hard time with yesterday, trying to see into this case of the dog and the wall, questions we've shown them have, how they respond to the pressures, how they answer, how this changes Tchilas of the Pshia. So we're going to dig down into Daf Chaf Beis. So we're going to go from general to specific. So this is a very general question. Tchilas of the Pshia is one example, one nafgamin of this question. The primary nafgamin is Machmas. We're going to just review Machmas today. And then we're going to dig deeper into other Nafkamina, it's other applications of whether the mandiyamar tchilosa b'shiv is abayonis chayev, is it because the etzim b'shiyah is mafkia the ones, or because the b'shiyah makes you a contributor to the ones and therefore makes mafkia ones, mafkia ptur ones bagavra. Normally, if you do everything, you're patur because you're an ones. Here, the fact that you did something criminal, you can say, oh, I'm patur, I did everything possible. Or the pshia, ayidei pshia, eno nechshav maisa nezek beones. Even though the nezek happened beones, you enabled it through a heinous act of criminality. That's not really an ones because you're still the author of it. Yes, Henry. You had a question before? Okay, great. Okay, so let's first see the Gemara that Rav Meidan quoted on the. Oh, this chair is a little flimsy. I can see where this is heading. Okay. We'll try to deal with it today and get another shift for tomorrow. Okay, let's see Tosfos and Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara is talking about someone who, yeah, maybe if you throw it, pass it over the chair, I can feel this is about to break and then I won't fall on the floor. Thank you. So the Gemara says in Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara is talking about a Gemara where you, the Mishnah, so I'll switch in a few minutes. Look at the Gemara Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. I think it's Nun Beis, let me get a chance to look at it. Yeah, Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Okay. So if you look at the Mishnah, it's based on the Mishnah on Daf Nun Amud Beis. Where's the Mishnah? No, it's on the Mishnah Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Look at Mishnah Nun Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says as follows. Line number 3. Kiso karo, you covered the bar properly. V'nafal etachos shorach hamor meis, pater. Lo kiso karo, v'nafal etachos shorach hamor meis, chayav. So the Mishnah seems pretty straightforward. You put a quality cover and something fell in. You're chayef. You're pater. You didn't put a quality cover, you're pater. There are two problems that the Gemara wrestles with in the continuation. If you covered it properly, how did an animal fall in? And if you didn't cover it properly, what's the Mishnah's chiddush? So there are two logical issues with this Mishnah, and you have to find a scenario that answers both of those problems. The Mishnah couldn't be telling me simple pashat halacha. I didn't cover it the right way, I'm pater. I'm chayef. I covered it the right way, I'm pater. Second of all, practically, if you covered it the right way, how did the animal fall in? Evidently, you didn't cover it the right way. So that introduces the following factor to the Gemara. What happens if I provided a caliber cover for light animals, but not a caliber cover for heavy animals? Okay, so let's see, the Gemara says, is this a thoroughfare that attracts heavy animals? You're a poshea. If not, then you're an onus. It's like, what happened? So this is how the Gemara is trying to parse this Mishnah. How could there be a case where I'm chayev? How could there be a case where I'm pater? If I covered it, it can't be the simple pshat to put a good cover, a bad cover, because the Mishnah won't have to tell me that. We know the answer to that question. So without going through all the back and forth of the Gemara, those who learned Daf Yomi, it was about 3-4 weeks ago, saw this Gemara, let's just pick up in the following case. Ika de Amri, it's on Nun Beis Amud Beis. It's about 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines down. Very, very famous Gemara and a famous Tosfos. Ika de Amri. Key by line. I'm skipping a line actually, so go to the end of the next line. Hachiyudi by. This is the case the Gemara questions. And without getting into how the Gemara interprets the Mishnah, kiso the beginning of the line. Kiso sheyachol lamo b'fnei shvarim, a cover that can support shvarim. It's not going to fall in. The eno yachol lamo b'fnei gemalim. It's not going to support heavier camels. The shchichi gemalim. And this is a thoroughfare in which camels walk. This is Camel Avenue. So this is a place that camels typically walk. Okay? So you didn't really do such a good job for camels. And that's bad because camels are going to go. But what happened was, unexpectedly, worms attacked. Unexpectedly, it dissolved. Unexpectedly, rats came and nibbled away at it. So you were bad. I'm not going to use the following words. You did something really, really bad. You created a boar that endangered Gmalim. And in the end, you know, it wasn't your fault. So Gemara wants to know, Mi amrinan, migo da have psheya, etzel gemalim, have posheya nami linyan hatla, odilma, lamrinan migo. Interesting, huh? Now here, of course, the word migo doesn't mean what it normally means. Sometimes in Shas, migo doesn't mean I could have said this, I could have said that. Migo just means since. Since you are posheya for gemalim, then you're also considered a psheah for the hatla. Now, it sounds like for the worm infestation or the internal decay and the structural weakening of the cover, which is unexpected. The Gemara sounds like, and this is the posture, the way most Rishonim, including Tosfos, understand, that this is an internal bor question. Remember, bor is a chiyuv of not what I did, because I didn't do anything. You fell into my bor, and I don't really own the bor. But bor is a special chiyuv. Right? Bor, remember Ravo and Davahamid Beis? Bor, Vichad Minayu. You can learn out everything else because Bor is so extreme. So Bor is so different. And the Chiyuv of Bor is the danger I created. So I endangered Gemalim, but the danger I originally created didn't really eventualize, and the danger came from some other place. How do we assess Bor where the danger that I exposed really didn't happen, but another danger happened? It sounds like, Mi Amrina, look at the Gemara. Migadave poshe etzel gemalim have poshe nami linyan hatla. Oh, dilma lo amrinan migo. Whatever that means with bor, we don't know enough of bor to fully understand this, but it sounds like it's an internal bor question. Yes or no? Tosfos wants to know. Why is the Gemara bothering itself with bor questions? This is a classic case of chilasa b'pshia, self aboutness. You are poshe for gemalim, in the end something unexpected happened. Who needs this migo? Kain migo? Yes, migo? No. Just to let you know, the Ramban conflates the two. In the Melchamos, the Ramban believes that this whole migo conversation is just another way of saying tchilas of Shia v'sav v'bionis. But the simple read of the Gemara Aaron, knows the term tchilas of Shia. If it doesn't use the terminology, it sounds like it's an internal bor question. Tell us once to know. Why are we digging down to decide this case based on bor? Just use the generic logic of tchilas. So look at Tosfos. V'im Tomar, Tosfos Diyo Maslo V'Shchichi, V'im Tomar, Ki Lo, about 10 lines in, Ki Lo Amrina Migo Nami Mischayev. Who cares about Migo? Not normal Migo, but this, oh, Bor, Chayev for one, Chayev for the other. Ki Lo Amrina Migo Nami Mischayev. Did Chilaso B'Pshiyahu Linyin Shvarim Yavru Gemalim Tchila V'yachakach Shvarim Estafa B'Anashit Liya. What happened? You are Poshev for Gemalim. In the end, if Gemalim would have fallen in, of course, you'd be chayav, but in the end, Shvarim fell in. I forgot to mention that. In the end, Shvarim fell in. How did Shvarim fall in? Because of the internal decay of the, you know, the worms, the rats, whatever happened. So why don't we just say, Alex, you're tchilasa b'pshia for Gemalim. Sofo b'ones, that something unexpected happened, this internal decay, and Shvarim fell in. Who needs these migo calculations? Just say straightforward, tchilasa b'pshia. Again, kilor mina migo nami, mischayav, tchilasa b'pshia linyan Shvarim, im yavru Gemalim tchila. You put a Gemalim vulnerable cover in a thoroughfare that Gemalim would come. Of course, if the Gemalim fall in, there's no issue to speak about. Gemalim fall in Yechayev. What happened? I should have said this before. I'll say it again. Gemalim didn't fall in. Shvarim fell in. How did Shvarim fall in? Because of something unexpected. It got attacked by worms. But in theory, you were Pashia because Gemalim could have come, ruined the bor, and then Shvarim would have fallen. So what did it always happen? You're Pshia for Gemalim and a thoroughfare for Gemalim, they could have weakened it, and then the Shvarim would have fallen in. So the Tirat Zriva, this is what's important for us. If you don't understand every single detail of the Gemalim and Shvarim, this is the key line. Why is the Gemara trying to get you from Migo, that you're Chayiv for one, you're Chayiv for the other? Let's just say Tchilasa B'Pshia. The Tirat Zriva, this is what we're interested in. The Lo Amrinan Tchilasa B'Pshia B'Safo B'Yon is Chayiv. Elahecha shemachmas apshia b'ha'ones. Avolhacha lo b'ha'ones machmas apshia. Tafilu hayim b'chusa karay l'shvarim v'ligmalim. Hayim atliya. V'chein mashma b'hamafkid gavei pashaba v'yatzal agam. The case of the animal goes into the swam. Hafim ad yamit l'esim b'sof b'ha'ones chayiv. Hasim pater. Demalach amaves. Mali hacha. Mali Hasam. And by the way, if you want to read the continuation of Tosfos, Tosfos asks, wait a second, if you need Machmas, what about the doggy case in the Nvav? And he answers like Rashi. The dog didn't dig under the wall, the dog pulled out the wall. So your initial Pshia was a contributing agent to this Onase falling, bringing down the wall. Thank you, Yisrael David, for that very, very vivid picture, bringing down the wall. Okay? So Tosfos on Daf Nun Beis agrees with Rashi. Just because I heard, I didn't want to get you into the sugya, because you don't really need it, because you have Rashi already. But I was like over here in Rav Meidan, I was in and out in the Shir Kloli, I was over here in Rav Meidan quoting the Tosfos, so I just wanted you to be able to connect the dots. That Tosfos on Nun Beis gets to it from a different angle. Dovi Rashi on Nun Vav says, Hi, the Gemara is a case of Tchilas of B'Shiv Savayon. He says, Ah, Machmas. Rashi re-engineers the case to be Machmas. Tosfos gets to it from a different angle. He says, Why does the Gemara not mention Tchilas of B'Shiv by Bor? The answer is, it's not Machmas. Because this attack of rats, or this attack of worms, or whatever happened, would have happened whether it was a stronger cover or a weaker cover. You could have put a lot of wood there to protect against gmalim, the worms would have eaten the wood. So the onus that happened in the end where these worms or termites cannonade, depending on how much wood there were there, whether you put a strong cover or not a strong cover, your initial pshia didn't contribute to the onus, and it's not machmas. And then again, look at the board, just to remind us of the lumnus before we get down to the weeds. Look at the board. If by Bava Kama the Mechayev is the Etzem Apshia, you're no longer an Onis, you can't pater yourself because you did your best, then I don't care about Machmas, and I would argue in Rashi and Tosfos, probably the conclusion of the Ramban, because the Ramban believes you can say Tchilasa B'Shia in this case, even though it's not Machmas. Whereas if I feel that your Pshia contributed to the Onis, well, some of it's Machmas. If it's not a contributing agent, because the Onis is something that would have happened regardless of your enabling, then we need Machmas. So Tosfos and Rashi fall on this side of the table. If we don't need machmas, we fall on this side of the table. We as yet don't have a rishon that says mefurish, and I want to take you through the Ramban here in Daf Nun Beis, but it seems like the Pasha de Gemara in Daf Nun Vav. The Tchilas of B'Shiv is something honest in Bava Kama, at least, is chayiv, even without machmas. Again, I keep stressing, regardless of what you say in Bava Metzia. Tosfos feels you can prove in Bava Metzia. That's a very, very shaky proof. Just because you hold one thing in Bava Metzia, then you hold the same thing in Bava Kama. Bava Metzia and Bava Kama are separate cycles, separate universes. Obviously, you can use the thought process of one to help you navigate the other, but there's nothing that forces you to say the same thing in each. It's hard for me to even understand why Tosfos brings the proof from Bava Metzia. Okay? That's where we are right now. So far, we haven't advanced beyond Tuesday Shir. I just wanted you to reinforce what we saw on Tuesday Shir. Okay? Now we're going to start digging down to the case of the dog. We're going to have a lot of tables, a lot of visuals. Okay, so let's first read the Gemara and see the pressure points of the sugya, and we'll see how Rishonim respond to those pressure points. Okay? The Mishnah says that a jumping dog, we'll just use the dog as also a gedi, jumping dog is your chai. You let an animal go up to a wall, you create potential for impact because of the gravity, the pull of gravity. So now the animal's on the ground and can't really break the kli. The animal's on the wall can jump and break the kli. The momentum and the gravity will cause the breakage. So you're a posheah. If the animal were to jump, which is what the Mishnah says, Hakele v'agedi, shakapsim erosh agag v'shibros hakelem, mishalim nezek shalem, v'pnei shehein mu'adin. Again, keep in mind, in terms of our regal conversations, this sounds like regal, not shein, right? Forget, it's not karen, but it sounds like it's regal, it isn't shein. Animals don't get pleasure by jumping on kelem. Sounds like it's regal. That's a big chiddush. We talked about regal being non-activity, it's just walking and as opposed to, let's say, sitting on pachim ketanim or using its horns, if you remember the regal conversation. So if this is really regal, that changes our definition of regal. If you feel that the animal is getting, you know, padded by falling on the kelim and it's really shein, then you solve the problem. So we don't really know. That's not the Mishnah's issue. It's regal or shein. But Rashi says it's regal, but the Mishnah doesn't say. Look at Rashi. Mei shehim bo'adin, likpotz, b'rishus, and nizikamar, the told of the regal. Who's the told of regal? You could conduct a case, you can concoct a case, it's really shein, and avoid the regal impact. Excuse the pun. But again, that's not the focus of the Mishnah. The Mishnah's not trying to focus on whether it's regal or shein. The focus is, as the Gemara says. So the inference is that if the animal jumps, you're chayiv. If the animal falls, you're pater. Tama de katsu, hanaflu pater. This is a problem if you hold tchilas of Mashiach of the self of Yonis Chayev. You're a poshef for jumping. Who cares if it fell accidentally on the kelim? So according to Mandiyama, tchilas of Mashiach of Yonis pater, no problem. That's a Mishnah. This is a classic case of tchilas of Mashiach of the self of Yonis. You're poshef for kvitsa and nefila happen. And you're pater. You're only chayev for kvitsa, not for nefila. But if you hold tchilas of Mashiach of Chayev, how do you make sense? So he has to have an ukimta. What's the ukimta? Kigon de mekarve kelim legabe kosel. This Mishnah is talking about kelim that are near the wall. The chi kavtzi bekfitza lo nafli alahu yafilu tchilasa bepshia laka. We move the kelim close to the wall, and here's the big assumption that Tosfos takes, and I think everyone's going to take it because it's a big chiddush. Animals have one jumping trajectory. You and I would think that animals can plan their jumping, like you and I can. If I want to jump further, I flex my, what, who's into anatomy, what are they called? The back muscles of the calves? What are they called? Not the Achilles, but also the calf muscles. I have to flex the calf muscles more and aim for further. If I want to jump less, then, again, my wife's a physical therapist, like what muscles are involved in jumping, but you jump closer or further, and I assume animals that are more adept at jumping, because they have to jump more frequently than human beings, to get their food, kofetzes, to escape. You know, you've seen cats running away, hiding in garbage cans. So I would imagine animals have greater jumping proficiency, even though they have less cognitive abilities, but they make up for it because their bodies are. But this is a big chiddush, as you'll see. The Rava doesn't want to buy into this chiddush. But tell us, a simple reading of the Gemara is animals can only jump in one trajectory. That trajectory is obviously a distance. It's harder to jump closer right down the wall than it is to jump at a distance. So if I move the kelim closer to the wall, I'm not endangering kelim for kvitsa. If I'm not endangering kelim for kvitsa, then there's no tchilasa v'pshia, the sefer bionis. Okay, so that's the Gemara's conclusion. Now what Tosfos is going to be bothered by, and I'll draw it on the board in a moment, is if animals only have one jumping trajectory, then what was the original hava mina? Before we knew, before we adjusted the case, that the kelim are close to the wall, we had a problem. Jumping, chayiv, falling, pater. Oh, if you hold tchilas of yourself, it's chayiv, how could that be? Wait a second. There is no scenario of tchilas of yourself, it doesn't exist, they're mutually exclusive. There are only two cases. Kelim far from the wall is tchilas of yourself, because animals can't fall far. Kelim close to the wall is tchilas of yourself, So what was your problem? Now I'll draw it on the board, okay? Let me see, I made some charts for myself, just so it should be clear to me, clear to you. Okay. The Mishnah's case, we'll use here. The Mishnah's case was Kafzu is Chayiv, Naflu is Pater. So what was the case we thought? Circle is the animal. We thought, here are the Kalim, and this is going to be jumping, and the squiggly is going to be falling. And therefore, you're a poshea. So if this happened, you're a poshea. If this happened, naflu, you're a pater. And I said, wait a second, naflu should also be chayiv, because you're a poshea for nefila, should be for kvitza, you should be there for chayiv. You're a poshea for kvitza, should be chayiv for nefila, why are you pater for nefila? Where it says, you know what? This is not the case. This is what we thought the case was. This is not the case. The Mishnah Zukimta is where the kelim are near the wall. Kelim are near the wall, so basically there's no pshia for kvitza, and the animal fell on the kelim. Okay, but when you were rejecting this case, when you were asking your question, how could this case be true? This case makes sense according to the Yamatachos of Yonis Pater. We never have to get to the Ukimta. This is the Stam case. This is the adjusted case of Ukimta. So, okay, this I can take this case. But if I hold chayiv, I can't take this case, because why does the Mishnah say, or infer, imply, excuse me, nafil is pater? If tchilas b'shiyah v'yin kvitza, sabonis v'yin nefila, why would you be pater by nefila? So I have to adjust the case and move the kelim close to the wall. If kvitza's trajectory and nefila's trajectory are mutually exclusive, kvitza is for a distance and nefila is near the wall, so what was the problem? Just say this is the case. And obviously if the animal fell here, then the kelim were here, closer, and there's no tchilas b'shiyah v'yin kvitza. There can never be a case where you endanger a kelim through kvitza, and those very same situated kelim get broken through nefila. Because that's the Gemara's answer. The Ukimta can't change the logic. The Ukimta can change the metzias. But whatever logic is the basis of the Ukimta, applied even in the non-Ukimta case, that forced it to the Ukimta. So this Ukimta is creating, you can pick up the phone, it's Ukimta, guys listen, it's very, very detailed, so if you're not going to pay real attention, you're going to miss it. So the Ukimta, if it's changing the logic, right, doesn't just change the metzias, then all of a sudden, once I change the logic, I have to look back at the case that I couldn't take, and I needed a Ukimta, and it makes sense, but now it does make sense. So that second line of the Gemara is a problematic line. Again, let's read it again. The Gemara should have said, Maika lemeimar kagon de mekarve kelim. The kelim are closer. The kelim are closer. Far kelim, you're chayiv. Close kelim, you're butter. Far kelim, you're chayiv. Close kelim, you're butter, because in a fila. But once I create mutual exclusivity between the trajectory of kfitza and the trajectory of nefila, so what do I mean by kipta? Why does the Gemara say, Dechi kapsi libaroi kapsi? And that can't be affected by nefila. That's the problem that Tosfos had. Okay, again, follow the logic. You moved away from that case because it was logically problematic, and then you didn't just change the metzias, but you added a logical bit of information, but once I have that new information, I don't need the okinta, I can go back to the original case. Once you tell me that there's no scenario in which kelim can be endangered both by kvitza and accidental nefila, then I've solved my solution. You know why the Mishnah says kvitza is chayiv? If the kelim are situated in a kvitza area, you're chayiv. If the kelim are situated in a place that the animal falls upon, which has to be closer to the wall, which isn't endangered by kvitza, then you're pater. The inference is, kelim bagdisha kavtsu afar kelim, you're chayiv. Naflu is pater because the kelim are closer and they're not endangered by kvitza. So if it's mutually exclusive, the two scenarios, close kelim is chilasa b'shiyah v'safa b'shiyah, I'm sorry, far kelim, and close kelim is chilasa b'yonim v'safa b'yonis, so why do I need to say the Mishnah is only mekarvi kelim? I could talk about either scenario. That's the problem of Tosfos. Tosfos has to find a case, okay, this is the case we're looking for, where there are kelim situated that both are affected by kvitza and affected by nefila. That was the original case that we couldn't take. And the only case we can take is avoiding that scenario and moving the kelim exclusively to the wall. That's what Tosfos is hunting for. Tosfos has to find a case. We thought the Mishnah would be the following case in which nefila affected kelim are also endangered by kvitza. That would be good if you hold tchilas of shia as pater. But if you hold tchilas of shia as chayiv, you can't say the Mishnah is talking about a case where the kelim are both endangered by kvitza and nefila, because that would be chayiv even by nefila. We have to move the kelim closer to the wall so that there's no danger of kvitza and there's only danger of nefila biones, which would be tchilas of biones. So whatever case the Gemara was considering that would work if you hold tchilas of shia as pater, but wouldn't work if you hold tchilas of shia, what's that case of tchilas of shia v'self of biones for kelim? Once I know that animals jump further than they fall, there's never a case where kelim are endangered by a pshia dik kvitza, but in the end, an onus happened and you're no fault. What's that case that the Gemara is walking away from and demanding that the kelim be so close to the wall? That's the problem Tosfos had. Again, even before you get to the lamdos, just the circuitry of the sugya is hard to know, like, what's Tosfos kasha? So let's see Tosfos kasha. Tosfos says, Hanaflu pturim, alma kasavar, v'im tamar hechidami. What was that case that you're rejecting and that you're okimtasizing by moving the kelim close to the wall? Imekarve kelim legave kosel. If in the first case that you rejected, the kelim were very close to the wall, hechim mitvri bekvitza, they're not endangered by kvitza. Vamrina besamach, we're about to say in the okimta, the chikatsi mevrai katsi. The imerchaki, and if the kelim are far away in that case that you are rejecting the Mishnah, hechim ishtabi benefila. Had the animal fallen it? Animals fall close to walls, they jump further from walls, there is no scenario. So the Gemara doesn't make sense, but I want you, Tosfos doesn't articulate it properly because he's shorthanding it. I want you to understand the logic. Normally, there is consistency of logic between a case that we reject and the solution of Ukimta. The same logic applies. The logic was problematic. I'm going to solve that problem by introducing an Ukimta to adjust the Metzias. But if the solution changes the logic, then wait a second, our logic was wrong. Maybe our problem doesn't exist. So when the Gemara says, oh, how could you say pater, it's tchilas of shiva selviones, what's the Gemara basically saying? It's not tchilas of shiva selviones because the kelim can't be endangered by kvitza. You have to find case A, the top of the board, where that's tchilas of shiva selviones, where it makes sense if you hold pater, the Mishnah's assumption, kvitza's chayiv and filas pater, it doesn't make sense if you hold chayiv, the chayiv man, the amar, he'll have to bring in a kimta. The Pater Man, the Amar, wanted to say the Okimta because that case is rosy. It's a Tchilas of Shiva Vesav Bionis, Noam, which is Pater. If it jumps, you're Chayiv. If it falls, you're Pater. The Tchilas of Shiva Vesav Bionis, Chayiv person will have to make it Okimta. What's that case that caused the pressure into the Okimta? Once you assume that animals don't jump and fall in the same area. That's Tosus' problem. Okay? Tosus provides two solutions which don't introduce lambdas. Rabbeinu Peretz provides a third solution that creates a lot of lambdas. And then the Ravid avoids the problem entirely by changing the girsa. And I don't know if you noticed the girsa change, but that girsa change avoids the problem. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. What it tells us is two solutions. What are the two scenarios where you are a tchilasa of shiva sefa bionis? It would work in the mission if you hold pater, kvitza chayiv nefila pater. It wouldn't work if you hold tchilasa of shiva chayiv. And therefore, if you hold chayiv, you have to say the mission is talking about a case where the kelim are very close to the wall, and that's why you're pater by nefila. What is that case? You know, what's the case? Okay, what does that say? Very good. V'yei shlomar, kon shahayu, lam ruchakos, v'lam mekuravos, v'mitfri, bein benefila, bein bekvitza. So this case, not the Ukimta case. The Ukimta case has to be a case where there's absolutely no pshia, because if there were, Matiyav t'chalas pshiyav z'ra chayiv would say chayiv. And the Mishnah says pata benefila. So what's the case? I'm just going to move a little to the board here. Case number one, according to Tosfos, is where the kelim are in the middle. So both kvitza, trajectory can hit it. Nefila's trajectory can hit it. The Mishnah says red is pater, blue is chayiv. That makes a lot of sense. Among the Yamar, t'chilasav shiyah pater. And the t'chilasav shiyah chayiv. It doesn't make sense. He has to say, you know what, the kelim are right near the wall. They're not endangered by the kvitza. They're endangered by the nefila. There's no t'chilasav shiyah. That's how the Gemara reads. We assume the Mishnah was talking about this case. We have kelim that are endangered both by kvitza and nefila. The Mishnah says kvitza is chayiv, nefila is pater. That's wonderful. What are you going to say? How could you say nefila is pater? The Mishnah says nefila is pater and infers is pater, implies is pater. Answer is ukimta. Okay, that's case number one. What's case number two, Leah? Okay, kliyarach. Case number two is same thing. We thought the Mishnah was talking about a kliyarach, which is endangered both by kvitza and by nefila. The Mishnah says kvitza is chayiv nefila is pater. That makes a lot of sense. If you hold chasav shia zaren pater, hold chasav zaren says chayiv. Michael and Meimai should be chayiv nefila also because he created danger for kvitza. Kamash malan, bring the kelim all the way in, small kelim, and there's no chasav shia. It's only an ones, and everything makes sense. If we take Tosfos as okimta, we move on. There's nothing lamdas about Tosfos. What's Rabbeinu Peretz as okimta? Now we're talking. Who's Rabbeinu Peretz? What's his okimta? Two sets of kelim. So you're pshia for the further kelim, and in the end, the onus happened to the closer kelim, or the same person, obviously. And the Mishnah says, kvitzis chayiv nefilas pater. So if you hold chasav shiyah, the onus is pater, it makes sense. Kvitzis chayiv nefilas pater. Hold chasav shiyah, the onus is chayiv, it doesn't make sense. Ukimta. What's the chiddush here? Okay, now we saw the solution to the technical problem. Can anyone abstract the chiddush? You see, I'll start the sentence. Tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa b'ones is chayiv, even if, say it even sharper, the pshia is, say it even sharper, push your mind, is regarding one object, and the ultimate nezik b'ones is a different object, and therefore they're not connected. Right? It's connected as a general. Push your minds to say it as sharp as you can, and I promise you will help you along this, because you're quantifying rather than generalizing. That's the chiddush. Would you say that tchilasa b'pshia on object X, the self will be onus on object Y? Obviously, Henry, it's the same person, not the same person. Obviously not, although we can think about that also. But for now, we're keeping that variable as fixed. Would you say chayiv? That's the chiddush of Rabbeinu Peretz. Yishayahu, okay? So it takes a while just to dig into the weeds and get it out. But once you get it, the first step of lambdas is atomizing. Taking all this information, creating an atom of information. What is this chiddush? Okay, tell us it's no big chiddush. Right, first, you have to read the Gemara. Then you have to understand the question. Then you have to see how Tosfos answers the question. Then you have to have the instincts to say, you know, there's no big chiddush in Tosfos for now. Obviously, there's always chiddush. But so, Rabbeinu Peretz stands out. Why didn't Tosfos say like Rabbeinu Peretz? So what would you say now based on our table? So now it's pretty easy. Once you atomize, it's pretty easy. If I hold that tchilaso b'pshia means I take away the get-out-of-jail-free card or the mazik, you're not squeaky clean because you did something criminal. Would it be limited to the same kli? Tchilasa b'shia v'tzal v'yon is chayiv only the same kli? Or even in different kelim, what would you say? If it's then in the gavra? Would it apply to separate kelim or not? Yes. You are not a squeaky clean person. You didn't do everything possible. By Hillel allowing your dog to come on, let's say, my wall, and I've got Caitlin, you endangered my further Caitlin. So you can't come to Beis Din and say, I, Hillel Shine, I'm the best guy ever, I'm the best Shomer, I'm the Vilna Gaon of Shomrim, I did everything, and even though I own the animal, don't make me pay. You're not. It's a din in the Gavra, and a din in the Gavra doesn't make a difference, a separation, Elia, in the Chafatzim. But if we hold that Tchilas of Shia V'Selfi V'Yalmiz means you enabled, okay, so my enabling was criminal with regard to the further Kalim. Again, even though you enabled the animal, you enabled the ultimate damage to the close Kalim, because if you didn't let your animal go up, nothing would have happened. But you were not criminal regarding those Kalim, because there's no way normally for animals to jump on close Kalim. Your criminal enablement was about other Kalim, and therefore when those Kalim get damaged, you are a criminal enabler of the further Kalim. But when the closer Kalim get damaged, accidentally, because the animal slips on a banana peel and falls down, straight down, it's something that falls straight down, you enabled it, obviously, but there's nothing criminal about your enabling, because there's nothing criminal regarding those Kalim. I don't have to say that. I could flip it around, Henry, and say, you know what, enabling isn't that specific, and you enable damage, and if you're an enabler. But the only way to understand Rabbeinu Peretz is to work through this model, not through this model. If I take this model, there is no way to accept Rabbeinu Peretz. You are not an ones, Yishai. You're someone who let your dog endanger the guy's Kalim. The whole magic of doing the Shmirah is that you're an ones. Tchilas of Shiva Sofa Bionis Aryeh takes that away from you. And it would take it away whether it's the same clear or not. So namely, we would apply Tchilas of Shiva, the Rabbeinu Peretz would make a lot of sense in this case. Again, it's inverted logic, so you have to really follow today. You can't go in and out, guys. You want to follow. You got to really mental tenacity focus. Okay? Namely, Rabbeinu Peretz says that we can find a case which is Tchilas of Bashir of Sofa Bionis and would be Chayiv, according to Rabbi Yamar Chayiv, and would fit into this strange physics case. Namely, Rabbeinu Peretz holds this. Rabbeinu Peretz holds that Tchilas of Bashir of Sofa Bionis is Chayiv, even by two Kalim. And the two Kalim solution is what the case was presumed to be. And therefore, if that's the case, Tchilas of Bashir of Bionis would be Chayiv, and that's a problem because the Mishnah doesn't sound that way, so we have to change the case. Namely, if Rabbeinu Peretz were in the room, and you interview Rabbeinu Peretz, so you hold Tchilas of Shia, B'Kli Echad, B'Selva B'Enes, B'Kli Acher, is Chayev, Amand Yama Chayev? Yes, I do! And that's what the Gemara felt, and therefore we had to reject this case, because the Mishnah sounds like you're Pater, and if you hold Tchilas of Shia, B'Enes Chayev, you'd be Chayev in both cases. So Rabbeinu Peretz sounds like he'd be taking this approach. Can you take this approach at best? Maybe, but sounds like you'd need Elia connection. You'd need to have a pshia that's criminal, that enables the damage in the ultimate item to which you are criminal. Okay, so this Rabbeinu Peretz starts to help us sharpen these two models of Tchilas of Pshia. Again, listen to what I'm saying. There's a lot of important logical spacing in this sugya. We're all operating right now. All of our discussion is within the Ma'ani Amar, Tchilas of Pshia v'Sofa Bionis Chayiv. I've chosen that field of study. Obviously, there's a whole other way to learn the sugya. Tchilas of Pshia v'Sofa Bionis is Pater. But right now, this whole conversation is just within the mind of the one who held Tchilas v'Sofa Bionis is Chayiv, why you Chayiv? Because the initial Pshia removes your Tzadik Ptor, you're not such a Tzadik, you're Chayiv unless you're a Tzadik and now you're not a Tzadik. Or the original Pshia criminally enabled the ultimate damage, removing this Ones, broke the Ones, because though you didn't cause it, you criminally enabled it. Yes, Azaria.
So, I understand that there's like a technical difference between this Nachmina and Machmas, but is there a larger, like more fundamental difference between Nachmina?
I mean, to use Aliyah's terminology, they're both discussing the level of connectivity between the Pshia and the Ones. And in either case, if the Pshia just removes your Tzadik Ptor, we don't really care about the connectivity. If the Pshia alters the Ones, we care about the connectivity. But there are different types of connectivity. One is causality, or there's no enablement whatsoever, and that's more basic. Here, you enabled it, but you enabled it regarding one target, not as close to the other target. So namely, even if I say that you need machmas, that doesn't mean that I would say you need the same kli. Said otherwise, Rabbeinu Peretz could be a machmas fan. You need there to be some enablement, but it doesn't have to be kli specific. Those who would argue with Rabbeinu Peretz, come on, just in terms of the calculus of the sugi, who argues with Rabbeinu Peretz? Come on, who argues with Rabbeinu Peretz? Who says you need tchilas of Shiva v'Sofa Bionis on the same kli? Tosmos, because he didn't adopt Rabbeinu Peretz as a kimta. Right? Tosmos and Rabbeinu Peretz evidently have a machlokas. Rabbeinu Peretz said you can have tchilas of Mashiach b'kliach. And now let's talk like a lamdan. You want to write your chilas on l'fir Rabbeinu Peretz. Hadin shel tchilas of Mashiach b'eretz chayev u'gam b'tchilas of Mashiach b'kliach b'self eretz b'kliach. Meidach gisa tosas cholkimis overim shadin shel tchilas of Mashiach b'eretz chayev zavak b'kliach. U'meila huchachat tosvos lavin shamishnah sekes b'kliach b'rachok v'karav l'kosa. So it's machlok is tosas and tosas Rabbeinu Peretz. Whether you can add tchilas of Mashiach b'kliachad v'sav v'yonis b'kliachar. Tosvos, Azaria, demanded Aliyah connectivity. Even within one kli, not just machmas. I'm pretty convinced Tosvos is on this side of the board. Rabbeinu Peretz said, you know what, I don't really care. He could be on this side. I'm convinced he could be on that side, but you can still squeeze Rabbeinu Peretz into this approach. Okay? Yishai, see? Yishai. To read the Gemara, go through the problem, find the Tosfos, know that it's not the Chiddush, get the Rabbeinu Peretz, what is the Chiddush? It's a lot, but this is what makes, not every sugya will be silver platter. These are the sugyas you have to dig deep. And right, we're going to dig even deeper. Okay, yes, Adir.
How about you take this as an Ashiya thing where we say that because he did something wrong, he was in the fight, or would you say like even between animals?
Let's see. We'll see that in Tosfos in the end. Okay? See that in Tosfos in the end. What, are there any limits? In theory, no.
So once you're pusher going one thing, we'd say that you use this onus for everything.
Well, that's what Tosfos starts. That's what Tosfos starts to gauge on daf chaf beis, which we'll see. What about from one av to another av? What about from regel to keren? But you're right. If you hold this, maybe the sky's the limit.
Maybe you would say that even within that side, you have to lose the, yeah, you have to be pushed out legabe a specific thing. That once you're pushed out legabe a specific thing, you lose the tzaddik turv regarding. Like,
right. I agree with you, but I wouldn't say that it's contoured based on the nizik. It's contoured based on the mazik. So if I was pushed out for my goat, then all of a sudden my cat does something, okay, then I could say that I'm a squeaky clean tzaddik for the cat, but not a goat. But here, I endangered one kli of yours and another kli. By the same goat or the same caliph, so I would think that it's streamed through the mazik's perspective, not which kli ended up getting damaged.
Even through the mazik's perspective, it's not really the same Mashiach. Like, it is a different
Mashiach. I can't argue, because second you get to these level of abstractions, that's what makes Gemara so supple. You could stretch it in a million different ways. But to Svar Yashara, to me, it sounds like that we're trying to assess who are you. I'm asking, who are you at the very, very most through your animal, not what happened to the Nisik. But I can't refute the claim. Okay? This is Tosfos. Yes, Azaria.
If there's that much difference between Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz and Rashi and Tosfos, could you view it as some sort of spectrum about how much connection you need, more so than like a do you need, do you not need? Would that be it?
Sure. But you never want to make a spectrum. You want to say, why do they occupy different points of the spectrum? You want to connect spaces on the spectrum to how they view the category. And that requires some very, very, very specific, like digging into, as Adir is trying to dig into, they're all within this world, and what is it? Or they're all within this world, and that's how you get to second and third and fourth layer lambdas. We say, you know what? Let's assume they're all working in the same logic. What's their machlokas? Because you never want to say they all have the same logic, they're just different points of the spectrum. That's essentially running away from risk of lambdas. Because you're saying, okay, well, why would I occupy this part of the spectrum? Why? So just using a fancy word of spectrum doesn't help you. Okay, I occupy this basis of spectrum because to me, the Torah Gavra is based on, and to me, and then why would it be that way? Just push and push and push and push your mind till you get to a definitional baseline, because this is how I understand Pshia, this is how I understand the Torones. You never want to just, you know, cover it up by exerting the concept of different points in the spectrum. These are signposts. Okay, now let's take a different approach to the sugya. Say they're both here, different points of the spectrum of Torah Gavra. Why? You may not always get there, but, okay? Fine. What is the girsa change of the Ravid to avoid this whole business? Animals. What was the problem I had in the beginning? How could the Gemara say that animals only have one jumping trajectory? We know it not to be true. Animals jump very, very high, low. So what is the right to change? Anyone notice?
Falling.
The gears of the Gemara is that animals jump far and don't jump close. We know that to be maybe not so true. The Ravid Skirsa is, if you look at the Ravid in the first, he has two Girsas. His first Girsa is the Ukimta, Kigon de Mekarvi Kalim Legavi Kosel, the Chinafli livrai nafli. Animals fall at a distance, but they can also fall close to the wall. Most of the time that animals fall, right? Anyone have a bad fall in your life? You lose your footing, right? There are two ways to fall. One is you lose your feet, and you're no longer standing, like in the cartoons, where it's very, very exaggerated. Slip on the banana peel, go, I had a case like that in my life, where you go up in the air and fall. So at that point, you're completely, completely subject to gravity and whatever motion, right? You're walking, and you fall up in the air, so your momentum moves you forward. So typically you'll fall forward, which is part of the Gemara's distinction by a boar, an animal falling forward, falling backward, have a lachavata, okay? And if there's a wind, you'll fall backward, obviously. But typically, you give up your control of your body and your momentum carries you. So you slip on a banana peel, you fall a little bit forward. And the other time you fall is where you don't lose your feet. You just, you know, bump into something which breaks your momentum and breaks your feet, right? So I walk like this, I basically fall. I fall in place. So I'm going, but if I go up in the air, then either I move backwards or forwards and there's a trajectory. Okay, typically, animals don't lose their balance and they fall because of a banana peel or something that makes them go up in the air. So typically animals, the Ravid says, okay, the okimta is where the kelim are close to the wall, that you can change, the Gemara says that. But the Gemara's logic is animals normally fall here. This crazy animal fell here. The Pshia, the Ravid, this is the Ravid, this is Tosfos, the Pashtus, this is the Ravid's first gear, so Ravid 1. The Pshia, as we know, is for every kli. You can jump here, you can jump here, you can jump here. So for animal jumping, I'm a poshea, no matter where the kelim are. I am a tchilasa b'pshia limahadrin in the Gemara's Maskana. Point it does, in Gemara's Maskana, you're not a poshea because the animal only jumps far and the animal fell close. Whole problem it tells us how to solve the havanin. But according to that, created a second layer problem, because once you change the logic and you say that animals only jump far, then what was the original case? But the Ravid is assuming, no, animals jump no matter where. So basically, Avi, the entire first problem is solved, according to the Ravid. What was the case we thought the Mishnah was? We thought the Mishnah was an animal was here, it could jump here, it could jump here, it could jump here, it could jump here. And instead, the animal fell somewhere. So that's the chilasa b'shiv asava b'yonis, which amandi amrachai, shibichayiv, why does the Mishnah say it in the filas pater? And we're not changing the multiple jumpings of the animal. Animals can jump wherever they want. So we're not changing the logic. Animals have multiple jumping trajectories. In this case, we thought, and they have multiple jumping trajectories in the maskana. We're only changing, not the trajectory of the jumping, and hence the b'shiv, you remain at chilasa b'shiv, two kelim, one kelim, I don't care how many kelim you are, even one kli, the animal happened to fall in a way that's irregular. The ones is changing, not the pshia. The pshia was always the same, and it remained the same. What happened was not a normal ones, but a very, very big ones. Normally, this is the assumption of the Okimta, normally animals fall at a distance, which is what we thought the case was. We didn't think the kelim were close to the wall. We thought the kelim were at a distance. The animal could jump, and it could fall, and that would be tchilas of pshia, so it would be ones. Turns out that the kelim were very close to the wall, and we call that tchilaso b'pshia, v'sofo b'ones gadol, to lo shriach. Let's see the Ravid. Kagon de mekarve kelim legabe kosel, dechi nafli, not dechi kafzi, as the Gemara says, dechi nafli. I don't know if you picked up that change. Dechi nafli, not dechi kafzi, dechi nafli, libaroi nafli, the onsa de lo shriachu. This isn't just an ones. This is a real ones. Now, what that means, I mean, every ones is an ones. No, but this is a nefila happens. It's an ones, you can't prevent it. But there are onsen that happen, you know, once in a lifetime. Perfect storm onsen. When the animal falls, and falls straight down on the kelim that were close. Umishim hachi, nafli p'turim. You know why, Yosef, you're part of the Mishnah? Because it's not tchilasa b'shevas of the ones. That doesn't make sense if you hold tchilasa b'shevas of the ones as chayiv. You know why you're part of the Mishnah? It's tchilasa b'shevas. The sofo b'ones gadol de lo shchiach. Invert the statement. The man the amor who says chilasa b'shiach v'sof b'ones is chayiv only holds chayiv by a ones de shchicha. And ones de lo shchicha would be pater. Kryptonite and Superman. Principles proved by the exception. Which model is the Ravid working on in his first Girsa. In which model of Tchilasa b'Pshia v'Sofa b'Ones Chayiv would you limit the scope only to Ones, not to Ones to Shchicha? So now, Azaria and Aliyah, we're not talking about connectivity between the Pshia and the Ones. We're talking about the degree of Ones. You see how we're shifting the analysis now? Which model would better support a conclusion that real onsin would better. I didn't say you have to, but would better. That real onsin would be pater, even among the Amar, Tchilasa b'Pshia, Yisofa b'Ones is pater. Okay, which model would be impossible? Adir, use your logic. Which model would not even create the possibility? I was Poshea, but in the end, not a regular Ones happened, but a crazy once-in-a-lifetime Corona Ones happened, not just your average Ones. So, you're not going to be Chayiv, even though normally you are Chayiv. Which model would not allow that to be happen? Would say, you know what, if you're Chayiv by Tchilas or B'Pshia, you're Chayiv by Self or B'Ones, if it's an Ones HaShliach, or it's an Ones HaLoShchiach, I don't care about the level of Ones, I hold Chayiv, because I'm a Tchilas or B'Pshia, Self or B'Ones, Chayiv man. Which model would say that? It's an Ones. If you hold this model, it's very hard to buy into the Ravid's distinction. What difference does it make what happened in the end? Your chayiv is your poshea. Said differently in Bava Kama terminology, your animal damaged his item, mimoncha, you have to cover it. If you can prove that you did everything possible, we'll get you off because you're a tzaddik. But if not, and in this case, you're not a tzaddik. Look at what happened in the end. And here, I don't think you have room to move out here. If you're a poshea with regard to the same kalim, in the same animal, what difference does it make if the animal fell this way or that? You're a poshea. Somehow, this chilek has to operate within this distinction. That I can be, I'll say the simple logic, though I can be called an enabler of an ones, not a cause of an ones, by definition. I can't be considered the cause of something which is once, you know, which is so off the charts and so... Ones is a quotient between how likely it is and who contributed to it. And when something is so unlikely that it's not even in your mind, like who would have thought of Corona before Corona? Who would have thought of Ones? You know, lightning, hurricanes happen, tornadoes happen, those are classic Ones. Who would have imagined an epidemic? And therefore, if I invite you to, New Rochelle, and from New Rochelle was just there, that was where they started. I invite you to New Rochelle for Shabbos, and then all of a sudden you catch Corona again. I don't make you breathe in other people's food. I invite you to New Rochelle just to go out for coffee. And all of a sudden, a Corona that no one could see coming, that happens once in 100 years, afflicted you. To be called an enabler, there has to be some level of predictability and reasonability and envisioning. Things that are completely, which the Ravid feels the Nefila represents as a category, not a case. These are all categories. That's why the Gemara's answer, saying there's a limit to Tchilas of B'Shiyah B'Saf of the Ones. Tchilas of B'Shiyah B'Saf of the Ones is Chayiv until you reach the point that the Ones becomes too far off the grid. It can't be affected by the B'Shiyah. By the way, I'm not going to take you through, obviously, but you find very, very, not just similar, but identical conversations by Tchilasa v'Pshia v'Sofa b'Ones by Shomrim. There's a Bala Iter that wants to know, would you say Tchilasa v'Pshia v'Sofa b'Ones Chayiv by Shomrim by an Ones to L'Shiach? Again, I'm not connecting them because you can have different logic for different fields. But the same models, of that, there's a certain Ones that just becomes so disconnected from the Pshia, not just because of the different objects or lack of causality, but even though there is enabling, it's machmas, but the ones becomes so unthinkable that you're not the author of something so unthinkable. It's just a classic act of God, and you're not enabled, even though you brought the person, you brought the horse to the water. So it's clear that the Ravid's way of reading the Gemara supports this model. So it's digging into the Ravid, getting the girsa, understanding. Everyone see why the Ravid solves all of Tosos? All the Tosfos has problems go bye-bye in the Ravid. Because according to Tosfos, you know what changed the Maskana? Two things, the Ukimta and the jumping trajectory. So wait a second. If the trajectory of jumping is further, how do we explain the problem in the Resha? And then Tosfos had to reverse engineer the Resha based on the logic of the Dichoy, because we can't change logic when changing Lita. It's all pretzel logic in Tosfos. The Ravid says nothing's changing. Kfitza was always multi-trajectory. and therefore we created a menace to every kli, no matter where, and if the animal ended up falling, and the maskan is, you know what, these are kelim that are very close to the wall, hillel, which we couldn't see coming in the beginning. We didn't assume there was normal kelim. You don't put close to the wall. You put somewhere in your rishos, right? If I have a wall, just psychologically. I mean, if you know Bava Kamba, you know where to put your kelim. But psychologically, if you live in Scarsdale, what were you looking at, Adam? Englewood. You live in Englewood, and you have a wall between you and your neighbor. Where are you going to put the kelim? Right near the wall or further from the wall? Further from the wall, just psychologically. I'm going to get too close to the wall. If you learn Bava Kamba, daf chafal, put him close to the wall because animals don't jump there. Right? Zero chacham. But if you're regular balabas, you put them far away. So that's what the Gemara assumed in the Mishnah. They're far away kelim, which are endangered by jumping. And in the end, the animal fell on them in a normal way. The Gemara says, no, you got it wrong. The kelim were very close to the wall, and though they were endangered by jumping, the falling is really, really ridiculously improbable, and therefore it's an answer to Shchiach, and animals don't normally fall close to walls, and therefore this is a case of Tchilasa B'Shiach, the self would be Onis Gadol, which just can't be Mechayiv. Okay? That's the first and easier Girsa of the Ravid. Now let's tackle the more difficult Girsa of the Ravid, which is our Girsa, but how the Ravid explains it. Okay? Again, the common denominator is the Ravid does not want to create an exclusive jumping trajectory, because that discombobulates the whole logic of the sugya and throws us into Tosa's question. So the rival will never say that animals in the maskana only jump at a distance, because then what was the havamina? Because you're separating trajectories of jumping from trajectories of falling, which creates the problem. So the rival says, nuscha achrina ar nusach, no difference, we know this nusach, we love this nusach, nechi kafzi livrei kafzi, umei karanami, Nehi de la b'makom shmirahu. The kelim are close to the wall. Can animals jump on close kelim? Of course they can. But they don't normally jump. Doesn't mean they can't jump. They don't normally jump. Mihu lav pshia gemurahi mishim de la shchiach. Over high gavna, Tchilaso bepshia besofa bionis, Isaiah, before you leave, we need your help with the sharpening. Tchilaso bepshia besofa bionis chayiv, only if it's a pshia gemur. For close kelim, is it a pshia? Of course it is. But it's not a pshia gemur. We thought the case was far kelim, mid kelim, whatever. And that would be tchilaso bepshia gemur besofa bionis. That would be chayiv. Why does the Mishnah say in the Filos? By moving the kelim close to the wall, we're not changing any logic, any svaras, any trajectories, it's all the same. We just know that it's not so likely for animals to jump close. They can. And you're a poshea by letting your animal go up on your neighbor's wall, seeing the close kelim. But you're not a pshia gemura. If you're not a pshia gemura, we don't say tchilasa pshia v'sev v'bionis. Namely, can anyone finish the sentence? According to the first pshat of the Ravid, though I say tchilasa b'shia v'self will be on his chayiv, I don't say it in the case of tchilasa b'shia v'self will be on his gadol. According to the second pshat of the Ravid, though I say tchilasa b'shia v'self on his chayiv, I'll only say it by tchilasa b'shia gemura v'self will be on his. It's not the ones that is being altered, it's the degree of b'shia. And by the way, you have the exact same thing in Tosos, in Bav Metzia, Tzadik Gimel, by Shomrim. What if you have a moderate Shia? Would you say Tchilasa B'Shia V'Sefa B'Yonis? By the way, that's how the Ramban, remember I alluded to you? Remember the case of the Chamor that I took on the mountain and took on the Bika, and from that Mishnah Tosas proves you need Machmas. The Ramban who doesn't require Machmas, as he does it in Bava Kamma, Duflin Beis by the boar, how would he answer? The Ramban says, taking a donkey, that you told me, is going to, you know, don't take one on the mountains because it's going to slip, and I took on the mountains, that's not a Shia Gemurah. Slipping animals are going to slip somewhere. I'm increasing the Pshia, but it's not Pshia Gemura, and you need Chalasa Pshia Gemura, the self will be honest. So this is a beloved concept in Bava Metzia. I don't want to talk about Bava Metzia, because this is a separate universe. I just introduced Bava Metzia just to show you the model. Some Rishonim compare them, which is interesting. Some don't. To make it easier, I'm separating them. Now we have a hard time. Hard times. Hard times in Yeshivat Haratzia. Hard times in Yeshivat Haratzia. Who's going to explain this Ravid to me? Why in Bava Kamma? If you ask me if we want to go into a time machine, when are we learning Bava Metzia? Maybe 3 years from now? I don't even know. Remember, we're learning about Nesiyah. We'll go 3 years forward, 5 years backwards, whatever. And we're learning Chalas of Shiva, 7 years above Nesiyah. That's not a Gimel. I know why by Shomrim. Because by Shomrim, the Mechayev of Pshia is a betrayal. And to be called a betrayer of your contract, you have to do something grossly negligent, not mildly negligent. I love this pshat in Tosfos and Tzadik Gimel, or in Baran Dafayin Chas by Shomrim. I'm not so sure I like it so much in Bava Kama. You're chayef for the etzim shia, because you're not chayef for the shia, you're chayef for the ownership. And the shia is just saying you're not an ones. So any little shia makes me not an ones, right? If this is the model of chilosa the shia, then the shia is not mechayef me. The mubinus is mechayef me. I own the animal. If I watch the animal, then I'm pater. If I'm any shia, even a little shia, I'm not a tzaddik. I'm not a tzaddik. I don't get pater. I don't like. I mean, after you say something, I don't like fitting this raven into this pshat. And I certainly don't like fitting the raven into this pshat. Because then the logic of Tchilas HaShem means I enabled it. And I didn't cause it. If causing it needs to be real pshat. Here I enabled it by doing something criminal. I did something criminal by letting my animal go up and potentially jump. And it could have jumped on the close kalim. There's only one clay. I enabled it. Namely, I'm stuck in this raven. I feel stuck in this raven. I'll take options in a moment if you have options, because it's very convoluted, but I'm stuck in this raven. Why would you need a super pshia to be chayiv? My instincts of Leah tell me it's somewhere in this world. Because causality, I'm enabling, I'm still an enabler. This doesn't make the degree of my criminality. I'm still criminal. I enabled it because the animal went up. Without the animal going up, it wouldn't have fallen on the close kalim. So what difference does it make how much of a pshia I am? I'm an enabler. I'm a criminal enabler. If you want to tell me, machmas, different kalim, different onsen, I'm not called an enabler, so onsen that never happened. But here, the onus is normal. It's just I'm not such a criminal. I'm not, you know, I'm not Al Capone. I'm only, whatever, who's a lesser criminal, whatever, Bugsy Siegel, you know? But I'm still enabling. I'm still helping out. I don't get this raven. I get it above Messiah. I get it really good, but I don't get it so much here. Evidently, and I've seen some people say this, and evidently, and this is a raven that may be a paradigm mover, you may have to say that in Bava Kama, you're chayev for the etzem mapshia by tchilas of shia v'sefa b'yones. But not because, oh, now you're chayav for mammon without an exemption, because this would also, you'd lose your exemption, even by pshia, shein, and gemura. You may have to say, and this is something major, a major shift, this rabbi may be a major, major shift in Bava Kama, that I'm chayav in Bava Kama for being poshea with my animal. As long as someone gets damaged. Anyone who's poshea is chayav. The Torah wants you to watch your animal. It's a public hazard, similar to boar a little bit, v'leish reno balav. The second that you start to be poshea in life, you're chayev, as long as someone suffers. Which is completely antithetical to everything we believe about Bava Kama. We believe Bava Kama is maisa nezek, and you're going to cover it either because your pshia caused it, or because you own it, or... And now the level of Shemira will determine whether you have an exemption because you're a tzaddik. This Ravitz says, no, to be chayiv in Bava Kama, l'mandi amar t'chilas v'shav v'yonis chayiv, we're just within this box. To be chayiv, you need a real pshia. Could this be saying, guys, look at the boards, we're able to put it into context, could we basically be, Adir, splitting this model? When we say that you're chayiv for the etzem hapshia lemandi amar t'chilas hapshia is chayiv, does it really mean etzem hapshia is mechayiv you? Without care about what happens afterwards, and it doesn't make sense. Why should I be chayiv for pshia as long as someone suffers? I know why I should be chayiv for pshia because I broke my contract with the Zarya. Why doesn't I be chayiv aron above a kama because I did something bad? I broke my contract with Hashem, I broke my contract with society. Hashem wants me to be careful. Or, what's more likely is, etzem apshia means, therefore, ein ptur ones, V'atachayev midin memarcha. That makes sense. You have to cover your animal's damages. You have to cover whatever your damages are. Namely, we're now changing this. We're now changing the larger question. This raivid is a major, major raivid. The level of pshia necessary to make you chayiv in Bava Kama. Even for pshia fans. Who's a pshia fan? Even for pshia fans. Has to be really, really deep pshia. Has to be a gross betrayal of your responsibilities. Why? What in Bava Kama makes me chayiv only if I'm a gross betrayer? What makes me chayiv? Normally, I think about Bava Kama, you know what makes me chayiv? Causality. Okay, that's a classic case, and I'll find a way to still be the causer by ones, of the ones, because I'm not the causer, I'm the enabler. This model. Normally, I think about Bava Kama, what makes me chayiv? Your loss. Who has to cover your loss? My mammon. So the driver is your loss, and the mammon means, okay, you lost, I have to cover it because my animal did damage. It's not even criminal. The mammon concept of Bava Kama isn't even criminal. It's like, you know what? No, you lost. This makes sense. I should cover it. Unless I could say, you know, I'm such a tzaddik, I go for a skate through. This is opening up a third vista to Bava Kama. It's not the causality of the damage. It's not the too bad, hello, you lost, let someone cover it. It's you broke your covenant with society. You broke your covenant with Hashem. The breakage of the responsibility, not the breakage of the kli, or not the loss of the nizik. And it's only considered a breakage of covenant if you did something really grossly negligent, Yosef. And letting the animal go up on a wall is not really a pshia, because most animals jump far. Animals can jump close, but most animals jump far. And seeing your kelim close to the wall, my animal, you know, not really good. That's the big chiddush in the Raivid. It's hard for me. That's why Tosfos didn't want to say that. Tosfos had to swallow the gears of Kafzi, because that's the gears of our Gemara. He didn't have the option of Nafli. Tosfos didn't want to say there's a difference in Pshia. So Tosfos therefore was forced to say there's no Pshia. Why is there no Pshia? Because there's only one jumping trajectory. That created shockwaves to the system. You follow? Tosfos ran away from this Raivid. This Raivid is the best way to solve the sugya, if the sugya is a chessboard. It's a hard way to solve the sugya in Bava Kama logic. You know the best way to solve the sugya? Animals always jump, but they typically jump far. This animal jumped close. So it's a pshia, but not a real pshia. And the chiddush was, we thought the kelim were far. That's a real pshia. Hypothetical case. Okimtasized case. Kelim are close. It's not a real pshia. That makes a lot of sense. But it doesn't work in Bava Kama land. Who cares how much of a pshia there is for Bava Kama? The Raivid in the second girsa bought into it. In his first girsa, he changed the girsa. Tosfos kept the girsa, but had to say something which created upheaval in the whole sugya. Animals only jump far, they don't jump. Aside from the Messias, it just doesn't work in the sugya. They don't jump far. What was the case of Klesvashias or the Onis? Tosfos had to come to all these akintas. That's the core. The core isn't girsa in the sugya. The core in the sugya is logic. Ish, I don't really need so much of a pshia. I argue on the Raivid. Therefore, I don't really care where the kelim are. Positioning of the kelim isn't going to change the pshia. It may change the ones. It's not going to change the pshia. Tosfos was forced to say, you know what? It will. It will eliminate a pshia. Kelim close to walls are going to eliminate pshia. If they eliminate pshia, then what was the first case? If you eliminate pshia by kelim close to walls, then you can never have an overlap between the pshia of tfitza and the ones of nefila. So that you can't. You can't take this sugya unless you pay some price. Your price is going to be above a comma price. You're going to say that you need a real pshia for the class of pshia, the Raivid second girsa. Your price is going to be okimtasizing back and forth like Tosfos and creating an okimta, what the havmina was, big kalim, large kalim, many kalim, they're bane of parrots. Or you're going to say, like the Raivid said in the end, that you need a super pshia in order to launch tchilas of pshia, the self will be on this. Okay? That's the easy part of the sugya. Okay, how much time do we have? 15, 20 minutes on the harder part of the sukkah. And I still want you to start with enough time to cover H today. Today's Shiur on H is not going to be that hard. It's pretty straight. Tomorrow's Shiur is not going to be pretty straightforward. Let's just read Tosfos Kasha, and we'll start to understand how we would answer and what Tosfos answers. Okay, but the Kasha here, guys, is far, 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 far more important than any of the, I mean, they're all important, but at least for us right now. What's Tosis Kasha on Chaf Beis? I'll set it up. Okay, the setup is, our Mishnah says, jumping is chayiv, falling is pater. The Gemara adjusts that, just because I want you to know Gemara, not just Lambda, so let's just see the Gemara Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. The Gemara and Chaf Aleph Amid Beis adjust that. By the way, Tana Rabbanan, if they jump down, top down, that's normal, that's the Mishnah, Nezek Shelem. Animals that jump from a garden onto a wall, breaking Galim, that's Mishuna, and that would be Karen. So the Gemara quotes a Brisa that just updates it. Animals that jump from top to bottom, that's Nezek Shalim. Animals that jump from bottom to top, Mimata Lemala, that's Chatzi Nezek, or in the Gemara's language, Pater. It means Pater, Minezek Shalim, Chayiv, Bechatzi Nezek. Pater here means Nezek Shalim, because it's Karen. So let's just read the Gemara. Four lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan, Kel Vagdisha Dalgu, Mimata Lamala Pturim, Minamala Lamata Chayavim. That means Pturim Minezek Shalem, as the Gemara adjusts in the end, Chayav Bechatzi Nezek. Okay, we now know top to bottom is Nezek Shalem, bottom to top, Mimata Lamala is Chatzi Nezek. Vahatanya, Chav Bezim and Aleph, Kel Vagdisha Dalgu, Bain Milmala Lamata, Bain Milamata Lamala Pturim. Even animals that jump from walls onto the ground, they're patur from nezek shalim, mechayiv bechatzi nezek, they're keren. Where it says, yes, this brisa that says even animals that jump from the top to the bottom is keren, the animal jump differently. Evidently, dogs jump differently than gedi, dogs, dogs, zakira, dogs just, they dig their heels in, and this dog didn't dig their heels in. And the gedi normally doesn't dig its heels in, and this gedi did dig its talons into. So evidently, the jumping from top to bottom was a shinoi. That's why in the Braisa, even if the animal jumps from top to bottom, it would be chasin as a karen, because it jumped with a shinoi. All jumping from bottom to top is a shinoi. Jumping from top to bottom in our Mishnah, if it does it the regular way, is nezek shalit. In this price, they were talking about with the dog altered and deviated its jumping, and the gedi deviated its jumping, rendering it chatzin nezek, or in the language of the price, patur minezek shalem, v'chayev chatzin nezek. Okay? So, that's our Gemara. If dogs jump from bottom to top, that's always a shinoi. If they jump from top to bottom, we have to check how they jumped. If they jump normally, it will be nezek shalem. If they jumped in some deviant way, it will be chatzin nezek. So, it starts as kasha. I'll start the Gemara. If there are two scenarios from the top of the wall, one which is nezek shalim, normal jumping, one which is deviant jumping, keren, chatzi nezek, why don't I say? You want to say that differently? There's one word you said that you should take back. I'll give you, yeah. Yes. Don't you dare use that word. Tosis does. But listen to Tosis. Crazy, crazy association. I say crazy, there's obviously logic behind it. Just like Tchilaso Bipshia Besofo Bionis is Chayiv. Similarly, Tchilaso Biregel Besofo Bikaren should be Chayiv Nezek Shelem. I let my animal go on the wall. It could have jumped normally, which would be regel. So even if it jumps deviantly, Karen, I should pay nezek shalem. What is Tosfos saying here? I'll help you a little bit. Tchilasa v'shia v'sav v'onis is a mechanism to eliminate the onis factor. It's not a pshia accelerator. Karen isn't onis. What is Tosfos saying? By the way, the reason I'm being so aggressive with Tosfos, out of respect, if we had time, which we're not going to have time, we'd try to trace some of the logic, but no other Rishonim asked this question. This is a Tosfos solo. Learn that skill also. Mainstream questions are not just posed by Tosfos, but every Rishon will say that. When you see a Tosfos and no one follows Q, it's because it's just... What's going on here? Tchilasa v'pshia v'sav v'bionis is chayif. I can undo the extenuating, exempting factors of ones. Karen isn't an ones. Regal isn't an ones. If I let the animal go up for Pshias Regal, then if it can't happen, I should upgrade the Chiyuv to Nezek Shelley. Tosa, let's just read the Kasha. V'yim Tomar, Daf Chav Beis. L'man d'yamar t'chilasa b'shiyah v'zav v'yon ischayiv l'chayiv Nezek Shelley. D'chilasa b'shiyah d'orche v'sofo v'ones. Now, maybe Karen is less Pshia Adir, but it's not ones. Tosa, like, fooled us. No. You got to read Tosas and aggressively, out of respect, because otherwise you'll never understand. Unless you ask questions, you'll never understand what Tosas is saying. So I'm just going to end cheer with the following Mara Mako. I'm not going to answer. There are two answers in Mishnah. There's not enough time for that. I'd rather you just take the Ravid and Tosas and Daf Chaf Aleph from the base. But what did Tosfos hold? Which model, as crazy as it sounds, which model could be shaped and bent and reshaped and rebent to maybe make sense in Tosfos, and which model you have to be out of your mind? Think a little bit. Think for 2 minutes, and if not, I'll give you a hint. I'm sure some of you are already thinking, but I want more of you to get it. It's obvious that Tosfos, on Daf Chav Beis, it may not be every Tosfos in Bava Kamma. So far we have 4 Tosfos in Bava Kamma. Tells in Bava Kamma Chav Beis is Tosfos, who asked this question and said, just like Tchilosa B'Pshia V'Sofa B'Ones is Mechayiv you for an Ones, it should increase the Chiyuv of Karen, since the original scenario was a regal threat. Which model is Tosfos, obviously, which logic is he adopting and adapting? He's adopting it, he's taking it, he's really adapting it. And the second part of the shir, which you're not going to get to, is the adaptation. How he changes it, what he says, what it takes to even ask the kasha, what are the answers? There are 2 more levels to this tosfos that I'm not going to take you to. I just want to start you at level 1. How could you read this tosfos without ripping it out of the Gemara and saying this is against everything I know to be true about the Chilas Reserve of the Honest? Which model is tosfos obviously taking? By saying, just like I can create a chiyav out of an ones, I can escalate a chiyav from Karen to Regal. Because the original stage was regal, let's escalate the secondary stage of caring. Initially, the animal went up. Had the animal jumped normally, dog jumps or goat jumps, you'd be chayv regal. The animal jumps strange to your caring. So let's say since the beginning was regal threat, the end is going to be regal type payment, even though the end was caring. Let me say it a little differently, some more hands will go up. Which model of Tchilasa B'Shiyah V'Sofa would be Ones is unique to Ones. It tries to affect Ones, take Ones out of the picture, which would mean, what are you talking about? Karen is an Ones, regular is an Ones, isn't it? Which mechanism of Tchilasa B'Shiyah is creating some dynamic between the beginning and the end, and that can be overlaid to when the beginning is Pshia and the end is Ones, but it could also be overlaid when the beginning is Regal and the end is Karen to escalate payment. Namely, which of these logics can be exported beyond T0 Pshia, T1 Ones to T0 Regal, T1 Karen? That's Tosfos exporting. You see, Tosfos is exporting, just like I can say Tchilasa B'Shiva's Ones is Chayiv. I can also say Tchilasa B'Regal V'Sofa B'Karen is Chayiv Nezek Shelley, like the beginning. Which one of these models is saying, yeah, you're not an Ones, you're an Ones, in which case it's all around Ones and the dynamics of Ones, and you can't apply it. Which is saying, you know, if I've got part 1 and part 2, all of a sudden I start thinking about the relationship between the two, and I can sometimes be Pshia versus Ones, part 1, part 2, sometimes carrying around. Come on, which model? Which model is Tosfos? Show of hands. You can abstain if you want. Make believe you're in the UN, okay? Is it this model? No. This is an Ones-specific model. You're way out of Bava Kamma. Yishai is to be an Ones. By Tchilas HaMashiach, you lost your way out. It's an Onesizer. You're not an Ones, and therefore you don't have a skating through Bava Kamma. In the case of Tchilas HaBaregel, the self of the Karen, of course I'm not an Ones. The question is, how much do I pay? Maybe you could say Karen is less of a Pshia, maybe, depending on your view of Karen. That's what Tosfos gets into the end. More Pshia, less Pshia. But Tosfos Kasha doesn't begin. Just like by Tchilas HaPshia, Vesof HaBionis, you're not an Ones if you're Pshia, so too, by Tchilas HaBaregel, Vesof HaBakaren, you're not an Ones. Okay, not an Ones, but I'm still a Pshia. I'm a Karen level Pshiad. The whole beauty of this first Pshat, wherever I'm right now, the whole beauty of this Pshat is you're Chayiv for Bava Kama, unless you're an Ones, Chalasa Pshia, end the conversation, you're not an Ones. But Karen and regular, each Pshia, there's just different levels of payment. How do you expect a mechanism that creates Pshia to all of a sudden escalate? Whereas it's Chalasa Pshia studies, Aliyah, the connectivity between T0 and T1, and you're an enabler, and therefore it's like, as we saw in the language of, who we saw, who did we see? Nigra Achar Pshia, where did we see that? Nevkiv Eger. So the end is Nigra Achar, not just when the beginning is Pshia, and the end is Ones, the beginning is, again, it's still a wild Chiddush, and there's still a lot to explore in Tosfos, and it still has to go through Karen and Regal before we get the two Avos. But there's no way to even say this approach, and which is why some Rishonim is just like, and there are many reasons why you wouldn't say it like Tosfos. You also have to learn the skill that when there's a Tosfos to say this is Tosfos going at it all then. Because they knew logic so well, the permutations that came up with were so imaginative. But I imagine the Rashba read this and like, no. They're not even roughly, there's not no comparison whatsoever. Tchilasa. So when you said the word honest, I started laughing. It's not your fault, it's Tosfos. Tried to trick you. Don't be tricked by Tosfos. Again, I'm not saying this disrespectfully to Tosfos. You can't understand Tosfos unless you grab him by the neck and say, it doesn't make sense to me, and I'm going to try to make sense. If you're just a patsy and you can allow Tosfos to convince you of things, you're going to miss the Chiddush, and you'll miss the truth. There's a real problem here. I got to start rolling my sleeves up and trying to solve what was Tosfos saying. I understand this is somewhere in this world, and I have to sharpen it, which I'm not going to go into. And that's not even getting to the two different ways to read Tosfos, which is selling them cars. Okay, so if there's a common denominator of today, is that there's very little silver platter lambda. Sometimes you have to dig and find the information and atomize it and sense that it's a chiddush and then start to analyze it. Sometimes the machlokes are black and white. Yishim Rishim Chitza, Yishim Mono, the application, the nafkamina. Sometimes they're much harder. Machmas is black and white. And you can get from machmas to these two models, black and white. These things are a little more subtle. But once you know what you're looking for, makes it less subtle, less vague. Okay, we'll stop here. We're just going to start the next mega sugya. It's not more than 4 or 5 shiurim. It's more like 4 or 5 rather than 7, 8, 9. The sugya of Eish. Okay, this is going to be our Eish moment. We'll talk about Machlokas, Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan. And basically, we're going to have to divide the sugya into. Tomorrow, I'm going to chew off the easy part. Rish Lakish. Yishim Yishim Mamono. Right, we know what Mamon is. I don't mean Mamon as opposed to Pshia, but Mamon like Regal, like Shane, like Karen. But still, anyone who saw the Gemara, we're still a little bit plagued by Rabbi Yochanan. What's the problem with calling Eish Mimono? Where's Rabbi Yochanan's opposition? Who knows? It's intangible. Do you really own fire? So tomorrow's question is going to be, is that what Rish Lakish is telling us? You can redefine ownership. Or does the word Mamon, Lavdavka, come on, tell me, you guys are smart enough to know, Mamon is just a way for Rish Lakish to say, what? No, well, that's the first shot. What? Right. It's a way for him to say, it's not Chitza. Doesn't mean, don't take the word Mamon literally. Mamon just means, in the context of this conversation, your Chitza business, which makes it into Adam-like, is wrong. This is still a Bava Kama world. I don't mean Mamon, I mean Pshia, maybe, whatever. So we'll explore Rish Lakish. Remember, every statement has to be seen in the context. You're making a statement, and sometimes it's just meant to pull down the other Shita. Yochanan is going to see next week, he's going to go out on a limb and say that it's Chitza of an Adam. It's not Adam. It's like a Mamon. Okay, I didn't really mean Mamon. When I said Mamon, I meant, you know, don't go off to the races and start talking about Chitza of an Adam. It's regular Mamona Shehizik. Doesn't mean you own it. Who says you need to own it? Maybe you do. Maybe. And we'll try to tackle that. But Rish Lakish is Yishem Yishem Mamono shouldn't be read as literally. It's just trying to reject the Yochanan's extremism of Yishem Yishem Chitza, which Emirat Hashem will get to next week. So we're just going to start Rish Lakish. I hope to cover Rish Lakish in one shiur. I'm not sure. I'll see how it goes tomorrow. But again, we'll start with Rish Lakish, and then, which is also an art, to learn how to divide the sugya in half. You can't, like, learn the sugya of Eish. What's a machlokas? Just But one by one, start with Reish Lakish, so you have Yochanan, then you have your Machlokas. Once you have defined the two Shitas, then you just hold them side by side. You see the potential permutations of the Machlokas. So don't try to think of two ideas at once, ever. It's always easier to think of one idea at once. That's what I'm trying to teach you. What's the simple Shita? Let's look at the non-simple Shita. Most people, maybe you're smarter than me, have a hard time thinking of two ideas at once. When you focus in on one idea, you can analyze it. I have a hard time dividing my mind. I can't do it. Maybe other people can do it. So the art of Lundus, I think most people think of one idea at once. I'm just trying to methodologize it for you, to teach you how to do it, to discipline you to do it. Inevitably, even very, very smart people that don't need discipline, that's what they're doing. They're thinking about one idea at once, just doing it fast and unaware of it. And I'm trying to help you to do it in a disciplined fashion. So what's the sugya? Let's cut the sugya in half. It just so happens I'm taking the easy shita now, which is what we always do, but here the easy shita still needs some work. Right? If anyone were to approach the sugya, what's the easy shita mamon? What's the hard shita chitzav? Let's go to chitzav. Here the mamon isn't so easy either because you don't really own something intangible, so you have a little bit of work to do in the mamon. But the real fireworks, the real bang, the real pyrotechnics, that's going to be ishim ishim chitzav when you get to Yoch, like, what is happening? How do you get from there? Ishtad and mamazik. Okay, stop here. Makaros, I sent you this morning. Hopefully, I'll be in the base manager a little more today. So, rest.